You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And Shaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
It's a good day to be Indigenous. Every day is a good day to be Indigenous. And we know that we are celebrating Native American Heritage Month across the United States. But it's always Native American Heritage Month here. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so glad you've joined us today because we have a dynamic guest with us, and I know we will all enjoy visiting with such a dedicated and eloquent individual. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, Geno. Very, very nice to hear your voice again, and I greet your listeners. My name is Cheyenne Eagleheart. I am holding you Shoshone Seneca and the executive director of the Redbird Center here in Ohio. And this is the Center for Healing. Greetings.
Greetings. Oh, I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm so thankful you could be with us today. Thank you for joining us.
My honor. Yeah.
Wow. There's so many great things that you're doing, but I do want to make sure we talk about healing, especially with the pandemic and the news headlines and everything that everyone's going through these days. What does healing mean right now?
Yes. Well, one of the things that we are encouraging is that communities are out in the natural world. They're walking in the parks, going down the rivers, going to the lakes, and seeing the beauty of the fall colors. Healing is truth. And the truth is that you are a magnificent human being. You're here on this earth at this time. It's an important time of power and coming together of all cultures, all faiths, coming together in the spirit of love and humanity, the human family. And so healing is restoring the truth of the knowing within you of who you are and why you're here, and the essence of our, you know, purpose here is to love and to experience joy and to be in creation with each other and co-creation. So that's just a little thought there.
That's a magnificent thought. That's good medicine right there. I love your emphasis on love because love is my superpower. And so yeah. I'm always excited when someone else sees love as a powerful force. You said unity too. All of us. What does unity mean as we look at healing right now?
Unity is slowing down, putting down the screens, noticing your heart and your spirit and how you're feeling, and seeing the other meaning your family members, your neighbors, your community. There are so many people around you in different ways, as well as the natural world and all the four-leggeds and the winged ones. Being in a spirit of unity is to be in connection with all of life and its gift to you. And if there are things standing in the way of that, maybe busy going, or unfortunately maybe fear and, you know, some of the conflicts, the human conflicts that have come up in these recent years where people are more pulled in. It is understanding yourself well enough to know, why am I more reserved now, or why am I reclusive almost, or spending my time in the phone instead of seeing the person that's there in front of me. And so it is a time of getting back to who you are and seeing who's around you, and then hearing their voice, hearing their heart, hearing what it is that is the essence of who they are, and appreciating and enjoying that experience. And there is a gift in that experience. And so a unity is a time of coming together. It's a time of really hearing each other's stories and being connected in that heart place and center, respecting other people and their truth and their culture and their faith. And however, you know, just respecting, you don't have to even agree with it, but just to be in the presence of other ones respectfully brings unity. When someone steps into a circle and recognizes that I will be respected here, or I will be seen here or heard, it opens their heart a little more to step in instead of step away. That's just a few thoughts I have.
Once again, magnificent, truly. One of the things I feel that the lockdowns and the quarantines and the pandemics really showed us was ourselves. A lot of self-reflection, a lot of time to think, a lot of time to grow, a lot of time to emerge as the person we truly are and want to be, or not so great. And so what if we realize now that our circle or the people around us are toxic? What do we do?
I love the way that you summarized some of this quieter time for us to self-reflect and become aware. And if there is someone close to you or in your circle somehow that is, the term toxic can be defined as someone who may depress or pull you down, be critical of you in a way that is hurting your spirit, engaging you or inviting you into activities that cause harm, overuse of chemical substances, or just conflict and anger and name-calling. It could be anything. The toxic feeling is a feeling you have inside yourself that you're not feeling good when you're in the presence of this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And to trust that, that there is a good reason you're feeling that way, that intuitive self, that spiritual part of you that says, oh, this doesn't feel very good. Maybe it's time for a change. And one of the things that happens is if you identify that this person is not good for you and that calls you to a change, you can take a moment to really evaluate the best way to do that. Sometimes it's real simple. You just don't return the call. You just say, that's enough. Mm-hmm. That's a relationship that has ended. But if somebody's a little more forceful with you, then you can make a clear statement and a boundary that I'm no longer willing to engage in this type of experience with you. It's not feeling good to me. And if that's too frightening, this person might get angry. Maybe they'll say or do something that could hurt me. There are ways to reach out for support. Sometimes there is the truth that in some families or circles, there's domestic violence, there's things going on that people are more aggressive and hurtful to each other, and you might need some assistance. And we have people that can provide you some support as you make those decisions, if that's something that you're feeling that you've identified that you need, is to get away from somebody who might harm you if you try to leave. Obviously, these are all very complex possibilities, and I'm willing to say more about them, but just in a general overview, that's the first things that come to me.
Wise as always. And of course, sometimes in the horror movies, the scary movies, I don't watch them, but I have friends that do. And the terrifying announcement comes that the call is coming from inside the house, or the monster's actually inside the house.
Yeah.
What if during this period of self-reflection and turmoil and change, we've realized, the call's coming from inside the house. I have things that I need to change if I want to have the life that I want to have. What if we realize that, we've met the enemy and it is us?
Oh, yes. I understand what you're saying. Self-reflection and even inventory, really looking with a cold eye in that reflection in the mirror and seeing yourself as you are, the truth of who you are, and maybe there are some things that you're doing that aren't the healthiest or the best for you or for those who love you. There is a power in facing the truth. There's an opportunity for healing and change. We have a term we say, wounded bear. Sometimes we have gone through things in our own life that have harmed and hurt us or shaped us a certain way and developed a condition within that isn't the best thing for us and others around. And so facing those things directly and with a compassionate heart to say, oh, I really want to better understand why I do that. Why do I yell at people or pick up a substance or have a real critical eye for others? What is going on? What is the deeper need within me? Mm-hmm. And asking that question is very, very important because sometimes when we're hostile to others, it means we're frightened. And we keep everyone away. We keep, you know, it's a behavior is language. Sometimes we tell our stories by the things we do. And so to approach that with curiosity and compassion instead of judgment and, you know, there's a tendency to, you know, self-reject that which the shadow, the darker parts of ourselves, when in fact they need to be brought into the light and they need to be responded to. Like, what is that fear about if that's what's driving what you're doing? Or what is that deeper sorrow that you're feeling that makes you feel hopeless about your life? Because we have a good reason for those things that we feel and even the actions that we take, a desire to understand them and maybe begin to look at healing needs or changing what we're doing and discovering this freedom and this new power to live in a way that meets our needs and it doesn't have to harm us or others. So there's much to that one too, but it's a beginning, you know, for seeing the true reflection and making the changes you might identify that you need.
Excellent. So well spoken and so well said. I'm always a little bit relieved when I'm the problem because I can, because I can do something about me. Yeah. I can't always do anything about anybody else or the environment or something bigger or a system beyond myself. But when I realize there's something about me or in me that I can change for the better and it will help my situation, I get a little bit excited. I get hopeful. So let's say our friends are noticing, you know, they'd like to have some change that you're talking about. And maybe they are the wounded bear, you know, maybe they realize, wow, yeah, I don't want to act like this. I don't want to be this. What's the first step towards healing?
What you just stated, identifying. So you identify within yourself, this is something that I'd like to change. And inventory is great to see, well, these are the things I've been doing and what are the results of those actions. And that can be an awakening in itself, like, oh, that's getting me nowhere. That's not what I'm going for here.
Right.
Like the fear one, for example, pushing people away when you're really, really needing someone close and someone who loves and supports you. So getting the clarity about that and then moving into, there's different ways that healing can happen. Whether you're just beginning, some people use the journaling to tell the story a little more and write it out, tell your story. Maybe you have a dear friend or a loved one or even a counselor, someone you can tell your story to. And, oh my goodness, now I'm being heard and someone gets me. And then I get me a little more too. And perhaps out of the telling of the story, you discover there's a need that you have. And that could be anything. Well, honor that need, act on that need, there's this phrase, be the hero you've been waiting for. You know, take a stand on your own behalf, on your own heart. And go after the things that are important to you. We can live sometimes in a way where we're not, whether it's someone close to us or it's just a societal thing that mirrors that we can't achieve certain things that are important to us, our heart's desire. And that is actually an illusion. The only way you won't achieve the very thing that you're longing for is if you don't act on that, that longing and take a stand to work towards it and go towards it and until you get there. And sometimes things take a little while. But what you're doing is an act of self-love. You're doing for you what it is that brings about the outcomes that you're hoping for, and that's exciting. Your heart's desire is truly your future, so taking the action towards that is really powerful.
I really resonate with what you're saying, and I think that many of our friends will too, because there can be times when our dreams seem so big or impossible, or it's too late, or just in some other ways, we are encouraged to settle or to cope instead of really moving forward toward our dreams. So how do we set ourselves free to dream again, to really think about our heart's desires? What do we really want as opposed to making the best of what we've got?
Yes. Excellent question. And the thing that it's a good place to start is sometimes people use a blank sheet of paper, vision board, something. It's important to start with what is your heart's desire, truly, without limitation, without anything happening that says you can't do it. Just this, if there was a magical person to come into the room and say, you can have whatever you want, what would it be? And answering that question without limitation. Mm-hmm. And then once you're clear about it, sometimes people are even a little shy. Well, I can't tell anybody that. That seems kind of silly, doesn't it? Well, if it brings you joy and it's truly your heart's desire, it is the next stage of your life if you're willing to honor it and act on it. And so getting clear about what it is. And then once you're clear about that, we do live in a society in the bigger picture where these are not typically the life paths that people take. Mm-hmm. They usually go with, where's the money? When I can earn a great income?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prestige and the power of society to be successful. And that is one form that I have many people visit me later in life, and they are very disillusioned. They achieved all those things, and they feel an emptiness in their own soul, as they would describe it.
Yes.
And that meant that that heart's desire was left behind somewhere long ago. And goes, well, Cheyenne, there was no money in that. I'm like, okay. Well, some things are priceless. You know, the fulfilling one's heart's desire and living authentically is priceless. And the wealth that comes to you in another way, and perhaps the other wealth will come too as you fulfill your gift. There's this amazing being that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I highly recommend knowing what that heart's desire is and then acting on it and filtering out any of the voices and old conditioning and training that says you can't do it. Just let that all go. And what I've found interesting over the years is that once people are clear about it and they start honoring and acting on it, there's this alignment that occurs. There's this magical, the phone rings, someone shows up in their life, and there's a lot of support for us when we're moving in that direction that is really meant to be in terms of our true heart. So,
that is so beautiful on so many levels. And I want to make sure, though, I ask you, what about that toxic voice, you know, the toxic narcissist mother or the overbearing father or the school teacher who told you you had no talent? Or, you know, we all have sort of those negative voices and programming that tell us in some way we're not worthy of our heart's desire, or we can't achieve it, or it's not for us. What do we do with that programming?
Okay, we'll see it for what it is. It's programming. Mm-hmm. The only thing that other person is expressing is their own limitation within themselves. It has nothing to do with you. It might hurt you. It may weigh you down if you buy into it, of course. But you could just say, well, there's a thought, and move on. Like there's and that's not easy done. Especially if you've acted and allowed others to influence you. It's very human. It's very normal, especially if it's someone close to you, their assessment of your abilities and skills. It does affect us. And there is a point of a time of reckoning where you have to evaluate for yourself the truth of who you are and you know, where your gifts and skills lie. And if there is something that needs development, go ahead and move in that direction to develop it. And some of the same people who are like, no way, you can't do that, you may come back around someday and say, hey, you know, here's how the story went. And they're like, wow, they're learning from you. We teach people who we are. We teach people how to treat us. And sometimes you do come back to those same people who had no faith in that potential and you have taught them that it is possible. And many of them will say, might say back to you, you know, I always had a dream too, but I left it back there in my, you know, teenage years. I
right.
just never thought it was possible.
Mm.
And now you've inspired me. So you almost turn the full, you know, we as a, you know, we're a culture, we're multicultural in this world that we live in, the four corners. We all have, we impact each other in different ways. And sometimes if you're a younger generation person, you may be the one to teach the elder that it is possible. It
uh-huh.
is okay to honor your heart's desire, because some things are conditioned culturally and generationally. And this is the breaking out generation, where people are breaking out of the things that are dysfunctional, or the things that don't help them realize their true gifts and potential. You know, and it's a good time, time of growing, and the time of powerful reckoning, truth reckoning, racial reckoning. There's many different, the earth, care of the earth, and all the reckoning around our stewardship, you know, here on the land. All of those things are happening right now. So you may be the one to lead a new movement of authenticity, you know,
mm-hmm.
in your own heart and life, but also inspiring your peers and family members. You never know how far it will go.
Right. That's actually the theme of my first novel, The Way We Make Sense, the one I wrote first, from Aunt Lou Books. It actually is about a family, and the fact that if one person in the family, no matter how many cycles and generational issues there are, if one person will just make a decision to do something different, to do something better this time, it actually starts ripples and waves in the future of the family, and in people within the family as well. And so I love that you're seeing it as change, and not just change like I changed and I'm great and I have a great life, but also change that can empower the people around us by our example and sometimes by our involvement with them. So we're thinking about change. We're thinking about our heart's desires, and we almost have a clean slate, right? I mean, everything has been changed by the pandemic. So where you worked before, you don't have to work there anymore if you don't want to. If you the things you were doing before, the things that you thought were your goals and your gifts, maybe you've discovered something new. And so we have a fresh new start, right? We have a new gratitude for life and for being alive and all of that. And so what do you do at the Redbird Center that helps people to walk into their new life?
Much of what we've already discussed, this is we create healing retreats and ceremonies. So someone, whether it's an individual or a couple or a family or community, a circle, identifies a desire for a change or healing or a transformation. We do a lot of transformative work. And to me, that is just helping people center in the truth of who they are and find the tremendous opportunity there. So the healing retreats themselves can incorporate earth way, earth medicine way, and it incorporates the storytelling, being able to tell your story and be in that presence with support and respect. And then if there are health conditions and things that are getting in the way of you fulfilling your heart's desire, we help with resolution of those challenges. So there is addiction or mental health recovery and different things. We don't use those words necessarily. We just talk about heart and soul pain, and we help folks resolve those issues so they can move forward. There's a lot of creative, the art. So there's a lot of creative opportunity, whether it's just art therapy to tell your story, but also just creating the arts, the working with the beads and the carvings and the clay and all the different things that the artist that lives within us, different forms of artistic expression, the songs and all of those possibilities. So it's a lot of co-creation here, where that individual or family or circle is identifying their heart's desire, their vision for what they like to do, and then we create it together with them. We kind of create a structure here that is very timeless. Redbird is like a healing stage, and I'm the person behind the curtain. I have lots of opportunities and things, props, things that people find very helpful in healing and transformation. But the person who identifies they need that healing, or that's the journey they're ready to take, that rites of passage, they're the director on their own stage. Personal responsibility and trusting your heart and your vision is a really important part of how we work here. And that's the co-creation is that individual and their vision and moving in that direction and the work they do, the sacred work. There's also the divine, so the spirit, the creator, the divine and that unseen world is present. The medicines and the ancestral influences bless and protect and support us. And then there's what we have is a wealth of experience. I've been in the healing profession since 1985, so I've wealth of experience of things that I also offer as possibilities, and we co-create together, and it's just magical. I love it. Mm.
It's amazing. It really is, and I hope somebody has thanked you for doing this work for so long and doing it so well, but just in case they haven't, I would like to say, you know, Wado, thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, Yahweh, I appreciate that very much, and it's my honor and pleasure, and you could probably tell, it is such a great joy to stand with those, and this also supports unity, huh?
Yeah.
So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do we connect with the Redbird Center? Perhaps someone would like to donate or volunteer, or someone is listening to us now. We have friends all over the world, and they're thinking, you know, I need that healing. How do they do that?
Well, we have a website, redbirdcenter.org. That's one way, and we have all the, you know, if you believe in the work, want to donate, if you want to set up a phone call and talk it over a little bit or come out for a meeting. We're in the forest in southeast corner of Ohio, and so that's a beginning place to talk with us, but I do a lot of dialoguing via email too, and that's all on the website. We are actually starting in December and opening up. We'll have monthly gatherings. With COVID, we can settle down a little bit, and they'll be outside. And we're working on a co-creation project right now to bring people from the four corners around the world, and certainly here in Ohio and across Turtle Island to have the different elders and teachers and artists and people sharing their gifts from their tradition. And it's the kids running about, families having fun, all of that. We got about 69 acres, 10 cabins and 70 beds out here. So we have accommodation as well as the hotel in town outside of Cambridge. So we're doing a lot more community building. Obviously, after, we're coming out of COVID, I know it's not completely over. We have a safety protocol in place, but we're also mindful that there is a longing to walk the land. There's a longing to see and connect with others and start to move into this time of healing and unity that we're all feeling. is so needed. So we're opening up in that way. And that's on the website too, the little flyer that describes what we're working on. We have a big fundraiser coming up on, Giving Tuesdays right after Thanksgiving, and all of that helps us feed the work, and very important part of it. Yes.
Beyond beautiful. When we come back from commercial, I want to make sure that we talk about children and families, because I feel that, being a parent in a pandemic is amazing, but that's not the first time Native American mothers and fathers have had to do this.
Yes.
We've had pandemics and genocide and all kinds of things happen, and so we're going to help some people. We're going to help some people because you have so much wisdom and insight. So everyone stay right there. Don't go away. We'll be right back, and it will be beautiful.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Jess.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase,
I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
Thankful, grateful. Thankful, grateful. That's how I feel about this conversation today. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and our guest is truly giving us wisdom that we can use. Transform our lives. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer also. Will you please introduce yourself to us once again?
Yes, Scammo. My name is Cheyenne Eaglehart. I'm holding your Sony Seneca. I'm the executive director of the Redbird Center. We're a healing center located in the forest in southeast corner of Ohio, Guernsey County. Greetings.
I'm so glad you're here. What is the origin story of the Redbird Center? How did it start?
We began in 1997, and I'm licensed in the field of counseling. I'm also following my ancestral ways. And so the clinical field was changing in the 90s, and the brief therapies and managed care impacted the quality of the work that we needed to do for healing and transformation. So I worked to keep the quality, and that made it meant a change. And so Redbird came out of that change so that people could still have that opportunity to be in the forest, walk the land, tell their stories, and have both earth medicine support as well as clinical healing in that way. And then over the years, it's progressed. We serve veterans returning from combat. We serve families and children who may have gone through challenge in their lives that related to trauma or addiction or just soul loss that comes as a result of difficult things that might come up. We're also doing a lot of work around cultural competency, teaching people about our traditions and our life ways. That not just for our intertribal communities, because we serve Native families in Ohio, but also cross-culturally, because there's been a lot of misinformation. We're trying to bring in a true experience. Well, that's a little overview.
Marvelous, truly. And what makes the difference when you are truly working from a Native perspective? You know, there may be people who say, well, there's plenty of recovery centers, or just why don't you just go to the one down the street, something like that. Why is it so important to have a Native American perspective in healing?
Well, I probably have a cultural bias.
I do, too.
I have an indigenous heart and life way. It's the only way I understand the world. And
that's right.
And as I've shared that for a few decades now, I've discovered that what people feed back to me who are not intertribal and are coming from their own tradition, but they're cross-cultural, and they tell me this just seems so authentic, it's just so real, This is so heart-centered, this is my relationship to the earth and all the natural world in a way that helps me reflect the truth of who I am and my being, and I felt all this angst and all this anger and all these different feelings that would go through me, but here I'm able to express and center and find a peace within me I've never felt before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's some of the feedback I get, and that's just a brief statement, but I do and share what I believe and what I know and what I've experienced. I was a heroin addict and lived in a very, came out of a very violent family. My mother is one of the women that were murdered. Long ago, and I was a daughter that grew up without a mother because of the violence against our people, and I I had to go through a lot of healing myself first as far as the healing journey, and my elders provided me the support through the ceremonies and through the Earth Medicine Way, as well as I had a good therapist who helped me walk through some of those difficult years of resolving the impact of the trauma in my life. And so out of that love and passion, that is why I provide these opportunities of healing and support for others. And I never tire of it. I may have to take rest periods and like everyone else, but it is such a joy to witness people being set free. And
yeah.
I feel a sense of responsibility to my community and intertribal as well as cross-cultural, the human family. I feel a sense of responsibility that we have things that we do here that really work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to waste too much time on anything else, but the true experience of healing.
As I listen to you, I hear the joy and I hear the passion in your life, and I have been so blessed to be able to do what I feel truly called to do. And I want that for everybody, you know,
yes.
Because it makes a difference when you get up in the morning and you believe in what you're doing, and when you're just, you're seeing marvelous things come out of what you're doing and how you're doing it, your life is better and it is different. And so if you're listening to us right now and you're thinking, ugh, you know, wow, I just so much encourage you to step into the healing. It's there for you. It's for you, you know. And so
yes.
As we talk about healing, I'm living my dream. My dream was always to just be a full-time mom. That's always what I wanted to do. And I got a lot of degrees, and I wrote a lot of books, and I did a lot of amazing things, but my heart was never really happy until I had my family. And now I have a lot of mom friends who are just like, what? This is amazing. We're having a great time being moms, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes a pandemic. And now we have big decisions to make, life or death ones, right? And what do we do, and how do we do it, and how do we mom successfully during such tumultuous times? We need your help. Help us. Say something wise. Please.
Well, for moms, I would say you, in our holy Nishoni and our understanding of the matriarch, you hold the women's medicine, mm-hmm. and you are that there's a sacred wisdom that you hold within yourself that's ancient, long before this lifetime. And so in this challenge, this time of challenge, taking those quiet moments, you know, mm-hmm. with kids learning about and all that, you have to find those quiet moments. I understand that for sure. And but you take those quiet moments to hear your heart, to hear that wisdom, allow it to come forward, trust that it's there. And sometimes that what comes forward and what you're, you know, kind of guided or moved to do may be a little different than anyone else, but it fits you, it fits your family, it fits your kids.
Uh-huh.
And so structuring your life in a way that really, really meets the need uniquely. And that some of that you might find through sharing with others and doing some research to find, you know, helpful hints and all of that, all good to do, being open to all the input that could come is for solutions, because a lot of families, parents are sharing with each other right now to come through all this.
Uh-huh.
And some of it's really creative, some of the ways that people have found to manage this crisis. And what I find very interesting, school systems are doing it too, is that there's people are saying, wait a minute, this isn't even realistic to try to meet into this old structure when we're in a new
right.
time with,
mm-hmm.
with a new challenge. So let us as a family, you know, as a school system, create that which is authentic and real for this moment. What do we really need? What is it going to be, you know, 5-10 years down the road, you know, that our family, our children, what they come out of this with? There are gifts in the challenge and gifts in the adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And even sometimes the answers the kids will give us, they'll still look at us and shake their head and go, hey, this isn't right. This doesn't make sense. I don't want to do it. And because there is something better. My grandson reacted to the whole, he was in kindergarten having to do Zoom. It's like it wasn't even rational for a kindergartner to be on Zoom.
Yeah.
And so we found, as a family, ways to meet the criteria for education, but also honor this little guy. And he was being very outspoken about it.
Yes.
So we have those real experiences. And as women, as moms, there's this ability to bring forth that wisdom. And because it's the time of the matriarch, the women's medicine, the clan mother is coming forward, because women are going to be providing the leadership for Earth's children and helping us walk through some of this darkness successfully. So bring forth those gifts, those talents, and that inner knowing. Bring it forth.
Mm-hmm.
Trust yourself. And help those around you trust that this mother's intuition, however we want to language it, is very powerful and holds the answer for this time.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Oh, that's so encouraging. And while we're talking about children and families, let's talk about children and families. Because I really think families need a lot of healing, of course. But one of the goals of raising our children is so that they will grow up into people who don't have a whole lot of heartbreak and trauma to heal from. You know, we'd
yes.
like to give them a good start. And so what do you think about children and families today?
Well, the first thing I would say is maybe some families aren't doing this, but limit your screen time. We're losing our elders spoke of prophecy time a couple hundred years ago, and they said there would be a time when a black box would get created and it would take souls of people.
Oh my.
And I watch, yeah, and that was long before technology, and I watch it's happening. And when I see so many children influenced by this and the parents, it's a little easy. It's kind of the built-in babysitter. It's dangerous behavior. I highly recommend you put it down. Put it down only to serve your needs regarding education or searching or mapping. But if it's your form of entertainment, it's dangerous. And I don't mean to sound dramatic, but there is way too much screen time going on in families. And I would highly recommend putting that aside, because the time of connecting with each other and really truly sharing, developing your family tradition and how you'll interact, you have a societal influence that is really strong And many parents are saying to me, you know, my kids are like, they just about throw a tantrum if I take away the phone. It's like, well,
wow.
That is exactly what you need to do. Because you're the parent and you're the one that has the wisdom to know that this is a destructive form of attention. There's a brief, maybe an hour a day maximum. And I know that sounds really challenging for many people right now, but children have told me 8 hours I'm on that, you know, my phone. It's the extremes are very concerning. So that is one thing we're looking at directly. And, you know, families going through, kids are very resilient, and they can come through this really well, and they look to you for cues, you know, how are you doing with it, and that you're setting the tone and the spirit for it. And you cannot protect your kids from all the traumas that are out there and all the disappointments. They're going to have some. What you want to help them do is develop skills to manage those disappointments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's happened is that kids have sustained a loss through this time. And whether it's social with their peer groups or their graduations or whatever the circumstances were, and they will... You know, we're all living through an era that we've never lived through in this way.
Mm-hmm.
So those skill building, it's a skill building time. What do you do when you can't have what you want, or you're mm-hmm. disappointed, or someone says or does something out of the stress of the time that hurts your feelings? And so you want to, as a parent, be teaching. And if you don't know... seeking out some support for yourself, because many parents are telling me, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reasonable position. This is, as it's been said many times, unprecedented. So take responsibility for what you don't know and seek out counsel to receive the support for that. So there's a lot happening in families. And, you know, I could spend a long time addressing that need, but just in a brief way, I wanted to respond to your inquiry.
Well, that response certainly places us on some solid ground, and I appreciate it very much. I heard about a study that said that 40%, as many as 40% of adults don't feel like they have any close friend or best friend beyond a sibling or a spouse. And when you mention the word community, that is so important, because community has really helped us to survive many, many things throughout the years, right? And I think a lot of things that were difficult and terrible, still people had community. They still had a feeling that, you know, they weren't in it by themselves.
Yes.
So how do we begin to make some friends, build some community, in an age of screens, right? In an age of quarantines and lockdowns, and in an age of just people may not even prioritize human relationships as much as they do things like money or, you know, excitement or whatever.
Yeah.
How do we make some friends? How do we build some community that helps us get through these troublesome times?
Well, you can look around and see who around you, whether it's in the workplace, your neighbors, wherever you are, your faith groups, you know, and look at, you know, who it is that you might want to reach out to first, get a sense of it, try one or two people, just the beginning place. And then authenticity is the most powerful approach. Going to a neighbor and saying, you know, we've all gone through a big time. I've realized I've never even talked with you or don't really know you very well. And
mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you were open to a cup of tea here on the porch, or just starting in a just truth, being in a true, even if it's a little awkward, you feel a little embarrassed and they might say no, just start somewhere. And what I've found, and I've done this myself with folks recently who have moved in, is they're a little awkward and nervous too, and then they
mm-hmm.
smile and I was kind of hoping I could talk to somebody, or
yeah,
you know, so there's what you're feeling and what you're reaching for. It may be something they're feeling too and just needed someone to take that first step. And for those that say no, it's okay, it's all right, and then go to the next person that might feel like you could reach out to. And I've because we're doing a lot of community building right now. I would say, without exaggeration, about 80% of the efforts that people put forward like that have been realized. So
yes.
People met them, and they were very excited. It's like, oh, this works, and I can do this. And then the more they do with good results, the more they do. And next thing you know, there's a neighborhood connection. They get a little block party going on, whatever. You know, it starts to grow, because if you're feeling it, probably others around you are feeling it too.
Yeah. So. Yes. Oh, how marvelous. We loved everything that you shared with us today. And I'm always so honored anytime that I get to hear your wisdom and visit with you. It's a joy to me. It's good medicine. And I know our friends who are listening feel the same way. And so I want to make sure before we close that you tell us one more time how we can connect with you. Maybe someone does need healing and needs to take part in what you're doing. Maybe other folks are saying, hey, you know, I want to help. Someone help me, I want to help. Tell us what to do and how to do it, please.
Well, I'd say the easiest way is that the Redbird Center we have a website that you can access to communicate with us. You can set up to come for the visit, or if you want to donate and support the work that's happening here. So the Redbird Center's website is redbirdcenter.org. And we're here in Ohio in the southeast corner, and happy to explore whatever the potentials are with your listeners. And I also want to say to you is that you're just an exceptional interviewer. I really feel like it's so easy to share with you, and you kind of target what's going to be most helpful in this conversation. And so I just want to honor and reflect back to you. You know, I really enjoy and appreciate you and your gifts that you were so generous in sharing, and feel like I want to learn more, too, about your work. And so that you've got me very intrigued here today.
Wow, how kind. Thank you so much. I think maybe that's what happens when you follow your gifts, right? Your heart's desire.
Yes.
And,
absolutely.
You know, and I want to say that for our friends who are listening, too, that, I mean, that's what happens. It's natural. You have a conversation and it works. You don't have to force it. You don't have to be confused. You know, so many times I see people and they hate their job. And that's literally hating most of your week, waiting for the weekend. And so I thank you for those good words. I appreciate them so much. And I just want to say to our friends who are listening, when you do what you love, the grace will be there to do it and to do it well. And it'll just feel as natural as breathing. You know, it'll just be what you do. You won't even be thinking about, how can I ask this great Emmy Award-winning question? You'll just be having a conversation.
Right.
You'll just be talking like you talk to everybody else. And so thank you for that. And thank you for joining us here today. You know, so many times I step into our stomp ground shell shaking ceremonies, and I am a shell shaker, and I go in and my mind is full of things that I'm concerned about, or maybe I'm confused about, and I come out with clarity. And that's the power of ceremony. And I feel that this conversation today has been ceremony.
Yeah.
That all of us, our friends listening, our sponsors, the network, you and I, we all stepped into this conversation with whatever we were thinking about. But because of the good medicine you brought to us as our guest today, we're walking out with clarity. We're walking out with strength. We're walking out with hope. And we're walking out with unity and community. And I so much appreciate you bringing that to us today. Thank you for that.
Beautiful. My pleasure. Yeah.
All of you, listen, you're so precious to us, and I hope someone has said this to you today, but in case they haven't, I want to tell you that the Creator loves you, and we do too.
Perfect.
I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait until we're all together next time. See you then.
You come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray her. They pray her. Ain't never look back once the Lord forgave you.
She is silent. Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Let her believe they get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back once the war forget.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.